This is Akashvani. In the weekly program Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on outcomes of BIMSTEC Summit and PM's Sri Lanka visit. The participants are Pinak Ranjan Chakrabarty, former ambassador, Professor Swaran Singh from JNU, Dr. Ahmed Farooqi, Prasar Bharati Special Correspondent, Colombo, Naval Sangh Parmar, Prasar Bharati Special Correspondent, Dhaka, and Alok Ranjan Rai, Akashvani correspondent at Colombo. Moderator is Nilova Roy Chaudhary, journalist.
Prime Minister Narendra Modi has reached Colombo this evening after travelling to Thailand, where he attended not just a bilateral summit with the Thai Prime Minister. He was also present for the 6th BIMSTEC summit, at which he has proposed a lot of very significant inputs and outcomes, because he himself is extremely invested in the BIMSTEC partnership. BIMSTEC comprises 7 countries along the Bay of Bengal and South Asia. It's sort of the primary link agency between South and Southeast Asia. And for that particular reason, it is extremely important that the kinds of things the Prime Minister has said today in terms of how he wants this particular grouping, this partnership, to move forward. I mean, Thailand being India's maritime neighbor at this point, Thailand being the chair of this particular BIMSTEC summit, he has proposed primarily that the home ministers who have agreed upon this initiative to curb cybercrime and a variety of other crimes, transnational crimes that are prevalent in this region, including terrorism, this particular home minister's initiative has been approved and will be beginning sometime later this year. Prime Minister has also proposed things like a combined UPI set of payments from all of the countries in the region to facilitate trade. He's also announced a maritime cooperation agreement, which was signed today. So all of these mechanisms make for a vibrant kind of grouping that all of the member countries will have things to contribute to. I am joined at this point of time by Ambassador Pinak Chakrabarty, by Professor Swaran Singh, and by our correspondents from Akashvani and Prasar Bharati, who are in both Colombo and in Dhaka. And we will now first go to Ambassador Pinak Chakrabarty to ask him what he thinks about the particular outcomes that have happened at the BIMSTEC summit today in Bangkok.
Thank you for having me. And I think the most important outcome, of course, is, you know, and I don't mean it in a non-serious way, is that the summit was held, because the last summit was, I think, 3-4 years ago, maybe in 2022.
Indeed, yes.
So it's a good thing that it has happened and all the leaders have met. And the maritime aspect, in my view, is very, very important. 5 out of the 7 countries have maritime, you know, domains, mostly in the Bay of Bengal and also the Indian Ocean, if you take Sri Lanka. So I think that is a very important aspect, an outcome of the summit. Apart from that, their bilateral meetings were held, and I think bilateral issues were discussed in most of them. And it's important that all of them are neighbors, India's neighbors, whether with land boundary or maritime boundary, the BIMSTEC countries are all neighbors. Hence, when you neighborhood policy, activist policy, India's declared these policies many years ago. So these are important for us. But I think the most important aspect is the economic one and connectivity. I would put these 3, maritime, economic, and connectivity, as the most important sort of aspect. Of course, there is climate change, there is counterterrorism. All those things are also very important.
Can I just bring in Professor Swaran Singh at this point of time and ask him what he thinks about the outcomes that have taken place today at the BIMSTEC summit?
Thank you. I think very clearly 3 important outcomes of the 6th BIMSTEC summit meeting in Bangkok are, of course, the Bangkok Declaration and, of course, the Vision 2030. And I think the most important also includes the Maritime Transport Cooperation Agreement, giving a whole new spin to BIMSTEC as prosperous, resilient, and open, which is pro-BIMSTEC now. In these, I think the other significant contribution, particularly from Indian side, was Prime Minister's 21-point action plan. At core of it, I think, is an interesting proposal of Home Minister's meetings, and of course, also in terms of security and space, cooperation in training, manufacturing, launching and use of nanosatellites, and of course, another Bodhi initiative of BIMSTEC for organized development of human resources in infrastructure, training diplomats, training forest research experts and cancer care, several other similar ideas of starting, for example, BIMSTEC athletics meet that India would like to host this year. And of course, in 2027, the BIMSTEC Games and
India
so on.
India is very closely invested with all of these countries culturally as well as through its religiosity and in terms of cultural aspects.
True, which is partly also because India is inordinately leveraged out of the 5.2 trillion GDP of all seven countries put together. Nearly 4 trillion, which is 3.9 trillion, is India.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, in population, if you look at the population combined of all these six countries minus India, it's still 1/4 of India.
Absolutely.
So expectations from India are very different. And therefore, I think Prime Minister's 21-point action plan lays on the ground very specific sectors.
Absolutely.
As to how India would like to contribute.
Very specific outcomes of this summit, which is something that normally doesn't come from summits at this point of time.
True.
Now, Bangladesh is going to be taking over as the next chair of the BIMSTEC countries. And again, Ambassador Chakrabarty, I would like to come back to you and ask you, how do you think Bangladesh in its current sort of condition is going to be able to take these issues forward?
I have obviously some doubts about how Bangladesh will be able to carry forward all these ideas and the agenda that has come out of the summit, because this government is an interim government and they will have elections, I presume, by the end of this year or early next year. And hence, I think initiatives that this government may not fructify to the extent that we want it to do so. And hence, the elected government, which comes in later, will have a big say. And I presume, because I had a personal interest in, when I was the BRICS, that BIMSTEC Sherpa, when the secretariat had still not been set up. So Bangladesh was given the option of hosting the secretariat, which they did, and they wanted it very much. And so I think this was important that Bangladesh invest much more. I think they are trying to do the the infrastructure improvement. A new building, I believe, is being built for the BIMSTEC Secretariat. But I think BIMSTEC Secretariat needs more people, more funding to carry on all these very, very ambitious goals.
We will be joined by Mr. Naval Singh Parmar, who is in Dhaka and Prasar Bharati special correspondent there. Mr. Parmar, I'd like to ask you, given the fact that Bangladesh is going to be taking over as chair of BIMSTEC for this coming year, things like disaster management and all that are close areas of cooperation. Do you think they will be able to take the organization moving forward? Do you think the chief advisor, Mohammed Yunus, is sort of committed to these aspects?
If you look at the historical development in Bangladesh, whenever there is a change in regime, there is a big change in policy, whether it is domestic as well as the regional or international. The Yunus administration, which is the interim government, they are lacking the people's mandate. So whenever there will be an election and the new regime will install, then only there will be a continuity of policy. That is the big concern for the BIMSTEC. And as the Bangladesh will be the chair for the next 2 years, they need to shoulder a bigger responsibility. But one thing I would like to add here that the 2 days back, I was going through these articles in which some of the experts criticized that the BIMSTEC is lacking institutional and capacity building. But our Prime Minister most significant announced that the India will lead many of the institutions.
Capacity
like
building institutions, yes. I think that is the primary aim of a lot of what he said.
So our Prime Minister rightly took up the issues, which is concern for the many of the experts.
Yes. Professor Swaran Singh, what do you think will Bangladesh be able to sort of carry forward on these issues that, considering that the secretariat is there, although Ambassador Chakrabarty says it's not maybe adequately equipped, but how do you think they will proceed on this issue?
That's true. There have been concerns about the inadequacy of personnel in the secretariat. India, of course, contributes 32% of the budget of the Secretariat, and the new building is coming up. Hopefully, things will get better. But if you remember, we were hearing the acceptance speech of Dr. Yunus for chairmanship of BIMSTEC for next 2 years. He underlined the fact that he would make sure that consensus that is built on various areas in SIGS Summit is implemented. In addition, he also asserted something that was not clearly much stressed during the summit meeting is the free trade agreement, on which there is already a committee set up from 2018 that he would like to see the free trade agreement moves forward. As far as the structures is concerned, I think a misnomer is there, that there is no structure. There is definitely a summit meeting that takes place. If you look at other regional forums, they are not most regular. So also BIMSTEC meetings lately, of course, have become much more regular summit meetings. In addition, there is ministerial meetings. And now Prime Minister has proposed Home Minister's meeting. There are business and economic forums. And of course, there is a secretariat. In addition, there is a working group that normally meets once a month, all the ambassadors in Dhaka. So I think there is a substantive mass that exists in terms of structures. Once you see this revival after 7 years of national leaders meeting face to face and Indian Prime Minister having bilaterals with each of them, once that new bonhomie starts among the leaders of these seven nations, I think momentum can be built from here. And Sixth Summit gives us that impression that the momentum is now being built.
And the fact that there is actually a maritime strategic partnership that they want to be putting in place soon, that was signed upon, plus the fact that Prime Minister has also proposed a chambers of commerce for the regions, because trade and, you know, at the end of the day, trade is vitally important. All of these countries have now been hit with inordinate tariffs from the United States. So as the Foreign Secretary today said, I mean, India would first look to itself and see how it would react before then talking with its partners to see how and if there could be a collective response in terms of currencies and all kinds of things. But the possibilities are quite large. And I think this, as you rightly said, this particular summit has really given an impetus in terms of moving this organization forward. Now, from Bangkok, the Prime Minister has traveled to Colombo, where he is the first leader who will be hosted as a state guest by the Sri Lankan President, Mr. Dissanayake, who also made India his first port of call after being elected. What I will get in touch with, first of all, with Dr. Ahmed Farooqi, who is again the Prasar Bharati special correspondent and is on the ground at the moment in Colombo. What is it looking like to you in terms of the kind of reception of the Prime Minister? Is there a lot of excitement about what is happening, and what are the likely outcomes that we can expect?
Nilubha, absolutely, you're right. The ground reality here in Sri Lanka is that people are very, very enthusiastic. In fact, the Prime Minister arrived a little while back in Colombo and he was given a warm welcome. He is right now receiving a warm welcome through various cultural exhibits, and people had been anticipating his visit since quite a long time. Ever since President Dissanayake had visited India in December 2024, there was a talk that Prime Minister Modi will definitely be coming to Sri Lanka. And along with this, several exchanges and MOUs would be signed, agreements would be finalized, and several projects which were backed by India would be inaugurated. You see, these projects have been very crucial, especially because they have been people-centric, touching upon lives of countless in Sri Lanka. And this is something which is intrinsic to India's neighborhood first policy and the Mahasagar vision, that is, which brings out a holistic kind of an approach for growth across regions. And that is something which is remarkable in terms of the policy that India has been adopting. Nilova.
No, so now Prime Minister is going to be hosted at a banquet, etc., and all that. And he will be witnessing the groundbreaking of the Sampur Solar Energy Project, which is a kind of a sustainable, obviously sustainable energy, and the kind of future perhaps of energy that India and other countries, and in this case Sri Lanka, will primarily be trying to concentrate on. So what happens? He is also due to travel to Anuradhapura on day after tomorrow, on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. And that again is probably the heart of the cultural relationship that India has with Sri Lanka, given the fact that the Bodhi tree was actually first carried there by Sanghamitra, the daughter of Ashoka, Emperor Ashoka, and so deep-rooted ties between the two countries sort of get cemented in this kind of a gesture. So what exactly can we look forward to other than just the these kinds of smaller projects? I mean, please explain, the Akashvani correspondent Alok Ranjan Rai, could you explain or could you sort of elaborate a little on how the significance of this relationship is being fructified in this visit as opposed to the more, you know, FTA-related or trade-related ones? Is that a correct assessment?
Yes, definitely. These kind, like you said, Sampur Solar Energy Project is being inaugurated, and there's also a visit to Anuradhapura that is being planned. So these agreements, whether they are in the domain of energy or connectivity or digitization, defense, health, or say multi-sectoral grant assistance, these kind of engagements will certainly upgrade the bilateral relations and might prove to be a new milestone in the engagement between the two countries. And also, the Prime Minister will meet other political leaders also in Sri Lanka during his visit, which goes on to show that India is not just engaging with the current government, but right. also is taking everyone along the board.
Right.
Visit to the temple also holds a special significance because, as Dr. Faruqi said, there has also been a people-to-people connect between the two countries. So
dating back this, several millennia, clearly.
Yes, yes, definitely. So this visit will certainly be opening a new chapter in the relation between the two countries.
Right. Thank you. Professor Swaran Singh, could you please explain the importance that this particular visit has in terms of not just the optics, but also the substantive part of it?
I think it's the both substantive significance of bilateral engagement, but this is also continuation of a multilateral meeting in that sense. So Colombo, when it had hosted the fifth BIMSTEC summit, had done several things. Even when it was an online meeting, mm-hmm. it adopted a charter which converted a grouping into an organization then. And of course, also brought down the 14 priority areas, shrunk them to 7 areas, mm-hmm. and made each member state as the lead in each of these areas. And India was given, for example, security and energy. And if you saw Prime Minister's speech in Bangkok today, he mentioned of connectivity in terms of physical infrastructure, social infrastructure, the digital connection, and energy grid as well. And mm-hmm. if you look at the climate crisis that the world is facing, transition to green energy is where, again, India can play a significant role, not just for itself, but also the solar power plant, for example, that he's going to lay foundations of in Sri Lanka, or cooperation with Bhutan and Nepal in the sense of hydro power generation and so on. Mm-hmm. So both at the level of bilateral engagement, where there's a whole new significance being attached on both sides after India committed over $4 billion of aid and assistance and line of credit and so on with Sri Lanka, but also in terms of continuation of achieving what is agreed upon in sixth BIMSTEC meeting mm-hmm. on the ground with each of these member nations.
Ambassador Chakravarti, would you like to weigh in here, please, in terms of why the Prime Minister is traveling to Sri Lanka from Bangkok, why this is particularly important? It's sort of a continuation and not a continuation. It's an extension thereof. So what do you think is significant about this visit?
Well, firstly, in terms of protocol, it's a return visit because the President of Sri Lanka had visited India. Mm-hmm. So he obviously had invited me in. And in an overall strategic sense, all neighbors, India's neighbors, have a priority in our foreign policy. And so I think, neighborhood first and all these policies that we have had and announced from time to time. So I think Prime Minister is basically going there. And as you described or your panelists described about energy security, India is, of course, the lead member in security and energy in BIMSTEC. We are helping a lot of countries in the solar domain, or let's say renewable energy in general, because India has the expertise and has to take the lead under the BIMSTEC. So I think the solar energy project is something very important. Mm-hmm. We are all affected mm-hmm. by climate change, and I think these are some of the frontier areas, hardly any frontier anymore, but still they are very important for future generations. So I think that is the vision that I think Prime Minister Modi ji is pursuing. And I think and it will be done for all neighbors, I think.
Dr. Farooqi, you interviewed former President Ranil Wickremesinghe recently, and he is, I presume, one of the people that Prime Minister Modi will be meeting tomorrow. What did Mr. Wickremesinghe have to say about this? I mean, India was, in a sense, the first responder when the terrible economic crisis hit Sri Lanka, and they've now managed to stabilize somewhat and beginning to look forward. So what did former President Wickremesinghe have to say about the visit?
Niluba, you see, former President Wickremesinghe mentioned this, that this visit of Prime Minister Modi is something which is very, very important for the bilateral relations between India and Sri Lanka. And he mentions that the relations between the two countries, especially in the economic sector, they need to be further strengthened. And such visits, that is from Indian Prime Minister to Sri Lanka and the Sri Lankan leadership back to India, which had happened in December 2024, as we already know. So these are very, very crucial in further taking this economic relationship forward. And to add further to this, the investments and other important projects which India has been contributing, they will play a very big role.
It is important because Sri Lanka and India must have closer relations, and those include economic relations. That's the most important. In other fields, we have been working and we've achieved a certain amount of success. We have much more to do in the case of economic. But also in regard to what's happening in the world itself, for instance, we had these Trump tariffs that have come. It's essential that we discuss and exchange views regularly. When I came in 2023, we prepared a list called the vision statement of the interactions and the projects that have to take place between the two countries. Connectivity was the key to it. So we have to go ahead with this type of program. We shouldn't hold back. That is my view. India's 4.5 billion helped us to survive this. It has been difficult. I am the one who, we know that because there were time before we got the IMF coverage. We had to depend on what India gave us. But still, we are not out of the woods because we have just finished the fact that we've got everyone to accept so that we will no longer declare bankrupt. Between that and normalizing and being able to repay your loans is a long distance. Therefore, many people will not come to invest in Sri Lanka. They'll watch Sri Lanka for another period, whether we'll fall down again or whether we can repay our loans. But India is prepared to come in the government, and there were some investors coming. If we get them, there'll be more Indian investments coming. My plan was that in 2025, we have at least $3 billion worth of Indian investment as against $1 billion from outside. Later on, we could have changed the proportions, but initial 2 years required a lot of Indian investment. It's the Indian investment that were given others the confidence to come in and as the economy improved. Secondly, I mean, we gain a lot of logistics there because Indian goods containers come into Sri Lanka. Then there's scope for, as we discussed, the Sri Lanka becoming an energy hub. I'm happy that the government is signing that agreement.
In fact, in addition to that, he also mentioned a few other aspects of the India-Sri Lanka bilateral relations, which could be taken forward, especially, you know, the issues of fisher folk. He also talked about the Tamil issues and various other domains where India and Sri Lanka share a relationship. And this is something which is very, very crucial. Not just that, the debt restructuring which India had co-chaired as the official credit committee's co-chair, along with Japan and France. And that was something which was remarkable. That is one. India's assistance of more than $4.5 billion during the peak of the crisis, which was unprecedented in terms of size, scale, and the speed with which it was executed. So these have made a lasting impact in Sri Lanka, and this is something which the entire former president, as well as the leadership and the government and the people of Sri Lanka, they remember, and they have immense love and gratitude towards India for all of this assistance that India has provided. And so, it's something which is remarkable because this is also being shown in the way Sri Lanka is welcoming the Prime Minister today.
Right. Dr. Farooqi, but the other thing is, what are there any tangible or concrete outcomes that you expect from this visit other than the inaugural of the solar power project? Is there something else that you're looking, that is particularly important at this point in time?
Nuluva, I want to add something further to Sampur solar power plant's evolution, which even Foreign Secretary Vikram Misri had mentioned last week.
Yeah.
You see, it had originally started as a coal-fired plant. It was conceived that way. Later on, it was proposed that it could be shifted to an LNG-powered one, but now it has been thought of as a renewable energy project. It's a very, very significant project given the green energy that India has been championing and pioneering. That's one. Apart from this, yes, there are several other projects, including railway projects that the Prime Minister would be launching, which will connect the northern part of the island to the capital.
Mm-hmm.
This is very crucial for seamless connectivity. However, another very important thing which the Foreign Secretary had mentioned was there will be updation of security agreements between India and Sri Lanka, which will be happening for possibly the first time in a very, very formal kind of a manner.
Mm-hmm.
There will definitely be a very important kind of an updation of these exchanges between the two countries. And that's something which we are looking forward to, apart from the other agreements that we are expecting in various sectors,
right,
such as health, digitization,
right,
and others.
Thank you. Thanks, Dr. Faruqi. Professor Swarn Singh, Sri Lanka again has a fragile ecology, and the fact that sustainable development, sustainable energy projects are something that India is also touting. This would obviously have a greater connect in that country. I mean, all across the world, of course, but these particularly in fragile ecologies like this. Is this the way to go forward, you think?
I think sustainability, of course, is the global buzzword now. But when it comes to India's relationship with immediate neighbors, particularly Sri Lanka, we have noticed India has tried to make sure we broad-based our engagement with Sri Lanka, bringing forward people-to-people relationship, cultural, religion, and so on. So you will see this visit largely broad-based in terms of the focus areas that you were asking. But I think it's also interesting to see how Prime Minister was able to have so many bilaterals in Bangkok, and I think first time meeting with three very important leaders after they took office, General Lyang from Myanmar, particularly when India is deeply engaged in Operation Brahma there.
Mm.
Of course, K.P. Sharma Oli after he took over as Prime Minister, and likewise the Chief Advisor in Bangladesh,
mm,
which I'm sure he is not going to be there when the summit meeting takes place in 2027. But it's interesting that these three leaders were able to meet Prime Minister face to face for the first time after they took office.
Right. Thank you very much indeed, Professor Singh. Ambassador Chakravarti, any last thoughts that you would want to share with us?
I think what happens is in our neighborhood is that there are political issues, political upheavals sometimes, or during the COVID, for example, with the Black Swan event, which hit everybody. So I think we are into now a phase of recovery and regeneration. So I think this is a very good thing that has happened, the BIMSTEC summit. It gave a platform for all these countries to come together, all of whom are India's neighbors. And I think we can take this relationship forward, subject, of course, to various other considerations and bilateral, you know, issues and other arrangements.
Thank you so very much, Ambassador Chakravarti. I'm afraid we're right out of time. Thank you all, gentlemen, very much indeed.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on outcomes of BIMSTEC Summit and PM's Sri Lanka visit. The participants were Pinak Ranjan Chakravarti, former ambassador, Professor Swaran Singh from JNU, Dr. Ahmed Faruqi, Prasar Bharti Special Correspondent, Colombo, Naval Sangh Parmar, Prasar Bharti Special Correspondent, Dhaka, and Alok Ranjan Rai, Akashvani Correspondent at Colombo. Moderator is Niluva Roy Chaudhary, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.